ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Please turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 18 as we're continuing our in-depth study through the book of Judges. And we've spent the last few weeks looking at confusion, and as we've seen, this confusion in the home, in the church, and this morning as we're going to look at in society and government, is the result of really only one thing. And I know that's shocking to a lot of people, but really all this confusion is based on what we read in Judges 17:6. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. You see, God was to be leading the children of Israel. He was to be their king. And they took the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob off the throne of their hearts. And the result is simple. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And that's never a good thing. We saw a few weeks ago, confusion in the home. As Micah stole 1,100 shekels from his mother. She doesn't know who took it, and she places a curse on the person that stole all this money from her. And it was a lot of money. And then Micah is kind of nervous about the whole thing. He admits to his mom that he stole all this money. And it's interesting, instead of rebuking him, she tells her son, "May you be blessed by the Lord. May you be blessed by Yahweh, my son." She used the covenant name of God, Yahweh, to bless this thief. And not only that, but she used this money, some of it anyway, to make idols for her son so he can worship God by. And then he consecrates one of his sons to be a priest. Son's not in the lineage of Aaron. He couldn't be a priest, but I guess it didn't matter because they weren't worshiping the true God by their actions. And so we looked at this, and because the Lord wasn't reigning in their lives, there was confusion in the home. And then we looked at last week, confusion in the church, and we saw this priest from Israel was just wandering around. He wasn't satisfied where he was living. He wasn't getting paid for being a priest, and he wandered to the house of Micah. And Micah finds out he's a priest. He makes him a deal that he can't refuse. And this priest, Jonathan, hires himself on to be the priest to Micah and his family. And he's using these idols to worship the true and living God by. And once again, all this confusion. Why? Because they took the Lord from reigning in their lives, and there was confusion in the church, you might say. Well, this morning, we're going to finish up our study on confusion, and we're going to be looking at confusion in society and government. You think we see any of that today? You think there's maybe a little bit of confusion out there? There absolutely is. Let me share this article with you. It's a little long, but just hang in there. You'll see what I mean, how important this is. The disease of confusion. For the remainder of these pages, I shall examine the thesis that a major element in the present-day crisis is a sickness of society brought on by the disease of confusion. And indeed, confusion is a medical term. Blackston's New Gould Medical Dictionary defines it as state of mental bewilderment, a mixing or confusing. And in Webster's New International, we find these pertinent definitions. State of being confused or disordered. Disorder, as of ideas, being, persons, or things. A mental state characterized by unstable attention, poor perception of present reality, disorientation, and inability to act coherently. The disease of confusion manifests itself in a human society by disorder, disunity, disintegration of unifying value systems, and the abandonment of those principles which are the foundation and elements of the established order. Wow, exactly what we see today. In fact, one wrote, "Without order there is no living in public society, because the want thereof is the mother of confusion. The ultimate in disorder is anarchy, the absence of all order confusion is complete. Do we see that in society today? Yeah, we do. He says, confusion is an infection which attacks the individual human being in his consciousness, character, and conduct. It tends to destroy his anchorage in principle, to weaken his powers of perception, discrimination, choice, and decision, and to corrupt, retard, or halt his moral and spiritual development. An epidemic of confusion is particularly destructive of the capacity for self-government and freedom upon which the structure of a free society depends. Society cannot exist unless the controlling power of will and appetite be placed somewhere. And the less of it there is within, the more there must be without. It is ordained by the eternal constitution of things that men of intemperate minds cannot be free. Their passages forge their fetters. Under communism and other forms of government which enslave the individual, the responsibility for restraint and direction of human relationships is largely vested in those exercising unlimited powers of government. The radical difference, therefore, for the individual citizen between the free system and its opposite lies not in freedom from restraint, but in the degree and purpose of restraint, and whether that restraint is self-generated and self-imposed, voluntary in a sense, or imposed from without and enforced by the power of coercion used at the ruler's sole discretion. The forging is only one area of our confusion in the world crisis in which we are so deeply involved. Exactly. You know, isn't it interesting that our society, our government, wants to move more towards a socialistic and communistic idea? Well, what does that mean? It means they control everything about you. The information. Do we see that at all today? Do we see a controlling of our information? Yeah, how many of you have been placed in Facebook jail or know someone who's been put in Facebook jail because you've been said something that the powers to be didn't agree with? Isn't that interesting? They're controlling the information. You know, we look at China and go, those poor people. They have no, you know, the government controls every aspect of their life. I'm thinking, hey, wake up, look at America. Look at what is happening here. They're controlling everything. And it's sad because, and we'll deal with this when we deal with our prophecy update, but the path to Marxism is socialism. That's exactly what we see today. There's such confusion. No one knows what's right or wrong anymore. And it's what's interesting is this article that's talking about all this confusion wasn't written in 2020, not even 2019 or 1990. You know when it was written? In 1960. Wow. That was a warning. And I don't think people were heeding that warning. And I guess we could say, in those days, there was no king in America, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's the thrust of our nation today. Not saying that there's not Christians in our nation. Of course they are. We're here. There's millions of Christians here. But those numbers are dwindling. Our focus, again, this morning is confusion in society and government. And I've kind of broken these verses down in chapter 18, and we're going to cover the whole chapter this morning. I know you're shocked by that, but hey, you know, with God can do amazing things, and you know, we pray He helps me through this morning. But and again, these are broken down, and they're in your bulletin. But doing what is right in my own eyes in Judges 18, 1 through 2, ungodly counsel in Judges 18, verses 3 through 6. Not a mission from God in Judges 18, verses 7 through 13. Worshiping God your own way in Judges 18, verses 14 through 17. A hireling in Judges 18, verses 18 through 21. He lost his God in Judges 18, 22 through 24. Death and destruction in Judges 18, 25 through 29. And idolatry in Judges 18, verses 30 through 31. So, let's pick up here in Judges chapter 18, starting in verse 1, and let's see what the Lord has for us this morning as we look at this topic, confusion in society and government. we're told this. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and in those days, the tribe of Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. For until that day, their whole inheritance among the tribes of Israel had not yet fallen to them. So the children of Dan sent five men of their family from their territory, men of valor, from Zorah and Eshtal, to spy out the land and search it. And they said to them, "Go search the land." So they went to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. Now, I've called these verses doing what is right in my own eyes. And the reason I said that is because the tribe of Dan were seeking a place to live, and they weren't seeking what God wanted for their lives. And the key to it is the opening verse, "In those days there was no king in Israel." God was not on the throne of their hearts. They did what they felt was right, and it wasn't right. Now, was Dan given an inheritance back in Joshua chapter 19? Absolutely. The problem is they didn't drive out the enemy, the Amorites, and later the Philistines. And this is the land that God had given them, but they were not satisfied with it. The enemy was too strong, and they were going to find a land that was easier to conquer. And they were a pretty good-sized tribe. They needed more land, and they needed a place to live. But the land that God had allotted for them was beautiful. It was located by the Jerusalem Mountains to the Mediterranean Sea coast. And this is the area, again, where the Amorites, the Philistines were at. On the seacoast, the Philistines were. And the tribe of Dan could not drive them out. They made a small portion of the land to live in. They were able to conquer that, but most of it, no. So they're going to head to Laish. And it's a beautiful, fertile land at the base of Mount Hermon. But it wasn't the place God had given to them. And here's the thing. Just because something is easy doesn't mean it's of God. I realize that that's what a lot of people think. Oh, that door is open. Look at how easy it is. Not always. And just because it's difficult doesn't mean that's always a door that God has closed. You need to seek God in direction. I'll give you an example in a marriage relationship. That's the land, in a sense, or portion that God has allotted to you. But too often people are not satisfied and they go seeking another portion of land. And think about that. You're not satisfied with the person that God has given to you. And I've heard people say, we weren't Christians when we got married, so God wasn't in the marriage. Well, I don't love him or her anymore. And the list goes on. Here's the thing. If you're married, that's the portion that God has allotted for you. If you go looking elsewhere, like Dan's doing here, they were wrong. And yeah, is marriage easy? No, because there's two different individuals. And don't get me wrong, I love my wife dearly, but she doesn't always do the things the way I like them to be done. And I'm in so much trouble when I go home. And I'm sure she feels the same way about me. I mean, I've shared with you before, it doesn't bother me as much anymore because probably I'm older and I'm tired fighting, but the toilet paper, you know how it's supposed to unroll. It's always the top, not underneath. That's ridiculous. This is the way God made the toilet paper dispenser, from the top. But, you know, my wife, any way she wants, she's a free willy, I'll do it anyway. No, there's only one way. Okay, maybe I haven't let that go yet. But you know what I mean. Here's the thing. Two different people that God has brought together. And the interesting thing is, we're not the same. We're two different individuals that God has brought together, and we complement each other. I can't imagine being married to a woman who is just like me. It would probably drive me crazy. So I am thankful for my wife. We complement each other. We help each other out. And I think it's really important. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to follow his directions, not where we want to go, like the tribe of Dan is starting to do here. They're seeking out a portion of land for themselves. You see no seeking the Lord. Lord, where do you want us? None of that. And they're really being wise in their own eyes. And that's never a good thing. No king in Israel, no king upon their hearts. And so we're going to see confusion, competition, all kinds of evil because of that. And what's interesting is, you know, this tribe or these five guys from the tribe of Dan that are traveling, they end up at the house of Micah. I don't know if it was on the road. Everyone seems to end up there. That's where these guys end up. And that brings us to the next point, ungodly counsel. Look at verse 3 here in Judges chapter 18. We're told this. While they were at the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. They turned aside and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What do you have here?" And he said to them, "Thus and so Micah did for me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest." So they said to him, "Please inquire of God that we may know whether the journey on which we go will be prosperous." And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. May the presence of the Lord, presence of Yahweh, be with you on your way." So again, the tribe of Dan, not satisfied with the lot they received from the Lord, they send these five guys out from the tribe of Dan and they head northward to find an area of land for the rest of the tribe of Dan to dwell in. And they rested at Micah's house. And all of a sudden they hear Jonathan, the priest, talking and they recognize his dialect. And they wonder, "What in the world are you doing up here?" And Jonathan is not ashamed at all to tell them, "Look, Micah hired me to be his priest." And these guys go, "Well, can you inquire of the Lord for us? Is our journey going to be prosperous?" And Jonathan says, "Hey, don't worry, guys. The Lord's with you on this. You're going to be prosperous. Don't worry." I very seriously doubt that that is what God said to him. Jonathan, more than likely, was a man pleaser and just told them what they wanted to hear. Why do I say that? Because these guys from Dan were not on a mission from God. They were on their own mission, and Jonathan was not really a priest of God. He was appointed by man. And I don't think he was hearing from God like many today, but you know what people use today? "God said." "Oh, the Lord told me." That's the tag. And then they go off on some bizarre thing that is not scriptural at all. I'm thinking, my God, he can't be that confused. My God knows what he's talking about. You don't, because you're going contrary to what the scriptures are saying. Now, were these guys sincere? Absolutely. But they were sincerely wrong. And for the Danites, the place of land that they're going to occupy, it's going to become a place of idolatry down the road. Not a good thing. And really, they're going to go into idolatry right away, as we're going to see this morning. But it's going to get worse and worse. As they set up a golden calf to worship God by during the times of the kings. And finally, in 721 BC, the Assyrians come in, wipe out the northern kingdom of Israel, including the tribe of Dan. And so this is really nothing more than ungodly counsel. And we see that so often today with leaders who tell people what they want to hear, but not what's right and what they need to hear. And that's a dangerous thing. And, you know, it's probably what gets me in trouble with a lot of people because I just say it like it is. I'm sorry. If it's not right, it's not right. You know, Paul warned us of this very thing in these last days. When he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 4, "For the time's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. They're not going to want to hear from the Bible. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they're going to seek for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." People who are going to teach them what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. And they'll look for them and they'll find them because they're everywhere. We see this so often, people saying things just to make us feel good, what we want to hear, and it's not true. You know, even in government. I don't know how true this is, but I think the presidential elections are over, but I'm not really sure how this is all going to play out yet. But the commercials were driving me crazy. I don't know why, but, you know, I think if in the commercial, the presidential candidate isn't telling the truth, his nose should get longer. Because it'd make it a lot easier, right? That was a lie. Remember, and I'm not picking on anyone, but I guess I am. But, you know, Joe Biden said that he's not going to raise taxes. He's going to give free college education to those who want to go to a two-year school. He's given us money if we're first-time home buyers. He's going to raise our salary $15,000 a year. How is he not going to raise our taxes then? Where is it? I mean, I come from an Italian family. Some of our family members, I don't know if they ever printed money or not, but I guess that's what they're going to have to do, because how are you going to pay for this? And we hear what? Free stuff. And our ears are tickled and we're excited about it. We don't even think. If you want good counsel, guys, if you want great counsel, you go to God and His Word. You know, there is so much confusion out there today. What is truth? I mean, wherever you stand on any issue, you can go on to social media and see that you're right. Wherever you stand, you can even find out, if you believe in a flat earth, that you're right, because there are a large group of people that believe the earth is flat. So whatever you want to believe in, you can support your beliefs. Doesn't mean it's true. Read God's Word. What does God have to say? And God is speaking to us. You know, it's crazy to think that He's not. He's given us 66 books, Genesis to Revelation, that He is speaking to us by. Why do we look elsewhere for the truth? Jesus said, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. This is the only truth I know today. 100% accuracy. 100% truth. Everything else, I'm not even sure of anymore. I mean, look at what is out there on the internet today. There is such a potpourri of stuff. Unbelievable. And you could get sucked into it and spend hours and hours and hours. And what if in a month, 2 months, 3 months, you find out you're wrong and you spent hours and hours and hours looking at something? And if you spent hours and hours and hours hearing from God, what that would do for your life. Wow. Yeah. In fact, Psalm 73, verse 24, you will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. God's going to guide me with what? His counsel. Where's His counsel? Again, Genesis to Revelation. There it is. Psalm 16, verses 7 and 8. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Oh, there it is. Don't let this world distract you. Put the Lord in front and let Him guide you. He's the great shepherd. You know, I think the sun is some, 93 million miles in diameter. I could be wrong. It's somewhere in there, I think. But do you realize, as big as the sun is, I could blot it completely out with my fist if I put my fist close enough to my face. Completely block out 93 million miles with my fist. And that's what happens when we put situations right in front of us. We block God, who is even bigger, out of our lives. And we can't see because we're looking at the situation. No, let the Lord guide you. Remove that situation. Give it to Him and say, Lord, I need wisdom. James says, you lack wisdom? Ask God. Psalm 119:24, your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Oh, delighting in God's word. He's speaking to us. I love that. You know, we see governments today who think that they're in control. They don't believe God. They're on their own. They're doing what they think is right. And I laugh at that. You know why? Because God already told us what He's going to do, what the people of this world are going to do, how they're going to accomplish what they're going to try and do. And you could read Psalm 2. When the world comes against God, He laughs at them. Why? Because He's the creator. We're the creation. How do you fight against Almighty God? You can't. But they're going to try. So why are we looking to this world for the answers when it just confuses us more, instead of looking to the Lord? Be in His Word. Obey what He's telling you. And for Dan, this mission was sinful. This wasn't a mission from God, and that's really going to be our next point. This was just fancy words given by this Levite to tickle their ears. Look at verse 7 here in Judges chapter 18. We're told this. So the five men departed and went to Laish. They saw the people who were there, how they dwelt safely in the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. There were no rulers in the land who might put them to shame for anything. They were far from the Sidonians, and they had no ties with anyone. Then spies came back to the brethren at Zora and Eshtol, and their brethren said to them, "What is your report?" So they said, "Arise, let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and indeed it's very good. Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate to go, that you may enter to possess the land. And when you go, you will come to a secure people and a large land, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth."
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.